My brothers and sisters, we live in the shadow of the cross. Like the disciples, we live in a world of uncertainty, live in a world of conflicted relationships, a world of blurred comprehension, a world of anxiety, a world of fear, a world of melancholy. You see, the cross was meant to terrorize, intended to dishearten the subversive sensibility, calculated to quash the spirit. And this is where we meet the disciples this morning. They were startled, afraid, terrified to have seen a ghost. This must be the same moment that we heard about last week in the Gospel of John. The same instant that we hear this week as Luke tells his version of the story. The disciples, as we remember, they were locked behind closed doors for fear. You see, to this point, they had only, and I emphasize only heard from Mary Magdalene, who herself had spoken to Jesus at the tomb. They had also heard from the two disciples who traveled with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and the other one, who we don't know his name. They walked with him. Their hearts were open to the scripture. They sat and had a meal with him, and their eyes were opened as he broke the bread. But these disciples, on this morning, the terrified ones, they knew that Jesus had been crucified. They knew he had died and was buried. And they also knew that dead men don't come back to life. The tomb is open. Their minds are closed. They continue to live and think and understand in the usual human ways. You see, in their minds, they had separated the spirit from the flesh, the divine from the human, heaven from earth. And whenever we make that separation, whenever we make that kind of separation, we deny ourselves the resurrected life for which Christ died. Now it is at this point in the story that Jesus comes to the disciples. And he says, "Peace be with you." Jesus takes this terror tool, this terror tool serving Rome, and he turns it against the empire through an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Now the disciples are able to proclaim the story too. You see, the world would not have us know this story. Would not have us know the resurrected Christ. The world feeds hopelessness. And it is to the resurrected Jesus that we are able to point the hopeless and the discouraged and even ourselves to. In the shadow of the cross, Rome and the Jewish authorities thought that they were writing the final chapter. They thought they were writing the final chapter. And there above the cross was the sign that Pilate had ordered to be written: "Here hangs Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." My brothers and sisters, neither Rome, the Jews, nor the destructive world powers can write the final chapter in the book of life. Jesus' resurrection is evidence of another ending. And this is the good news. Because in the chapter that the world writes, we were exiled, excluded. But in the chapter that Jesus writes, we are invited. We are included. In the chapter that the world writes, we are beaten. We are broken. We are defeated. We are counted out. But in the chapter that Jesus writes, we are countered in. As Christians, the world doesn't know or claim us. It doesn't write our final chapter. Because, my brothers and sisters, we are now children of God. That is what we are. And we have a new story, a new hope, and what we will be or what we will become has not yet been revealed. That, my brothers and sisters, is the hope. And in the original Greek in which this gospel story was written, hope does not mean a mere chance or possibility. The Greek word used here is elpis, and it means a certain expectation, a trust, a confidence. And it means for us, for you and I, it means for us that in the face of death, we can expect with confidence to receive the identity in whose formation we participate. That identity, unhooked and separated from our old story. Desire bereft of scandal. Love without rivalry. Love unconditional. In the shadow of the cross, resurrection is the meaning and the fate of the human body. Now let me say that again. Resurrection is the meaning and the fate of the human body. You see, what God did for Jesus shows us, you and I, shows us what God intends for us. There is much more to the divine life than our perceptions or our limited knowledge will allow. There is so much more to our lives than we are able to capture in all of our attempts to get it right. Our soaring dreams, our pain too deep, our delights too sweet. They all bring us in awe to where we think to find God. In the resurrected life. In the resurrected life of Christ, creation is revealed. And every one of us, as part of that creation, is filled with God, filled with His holiness, filled with His divinity. Nothing can bind or surpass in any measure the grace that is given through the resurrection. Unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness, That is, I think, one of the most difficult things for us to see, for us to believe, and ultimately for us to live into. It is, however, the divine reality into which we are invited. Not at some future time or place, but here and now in the present. In the shadow of the cross, we find Jesus still among us. In our families gathered round, in our hope and realizations, we are able to walk in joy. The extraordinary and the divine, they intersect with the ordinary in our daily tasks of worship and witness. You see, prayer and work are all a part of the fabric of Christian life. The very bread of the risen Christ, which we will receive at this altar rail, leads us to sharing the bread of the earth with those that are hungry. We come to the altar, you and I, we come to the altar to receive the body so that we might become the body. In the shadow of the cross, peace be with you. Touch and see. Drink and eat. Receive the body and the blood this morning. Christ is revealed. Know him. Jesus said, "You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things. Live it, become it, tell it. The resurrected life is yours. You are witnesses. Proclaim him. Proclaim him. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Amen. I have one more announcement, and that is that Mary Ellen and I are returning to the mountains tomorrow morning, and this will be my last Sunday here until September. So I will miss you all.
Well, I think I can speak safely for everyone saying, George, how much you have meant to us and will continue to mean to us. And for me personally as well, your mentorship has been impactful in my life. And I would like to pray for you and Mary Ellen as you head out on your journey. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, whose glory fills the whole creation and whose presence we find wherever we go, preserve those who travel from us, in particular, Father George and Mary Ellen. Surround them with your loving care, protect them from every danger, and bring them home in safety at their journey's end. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.